We are the champions, my friends. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 18 of the Run Selfie Repeat podcast, where we normally talk about life with a side of running, but today we are talking about running, like totally running, all running. It's going to be a big running day. I'm your running obsessed friend, Kelly Roberts, and today I want to talk about my quest to qualify for the Boston Marathon, BQ as we call it in the running world, and basically my time over the past year trying to make impossible possible. So a little backstory for all of you who do not know about what I've been doing, but this all started in April of 2016 when I went to see the Boston Marathon for the first time, spectate it. And I had a bunch of friends running, and it was fun to jump in. And here's a story that I'm incredibly embarrassed to tell. We were on the Newton Hills, which are these rolling hills that come before Heartbreak Hill. Heartbreak Hill is a really famous hill in the Boston Marathon that it is just known for being really difficult. But on Instagram, the geotag was Heartbreak Hill, so I assumed we were on Heartbreak Hill because it was a hill. And all of my friends, every time I would find them and jump in with them to run a mile or so and just like pep them up, I would tell them that they were on Heartbreak Hill and that it was almost over. And I didn't know. I didn't know. I mean, super embarrassing, terrible mistake. But slowly throughout the day, a whole bunch of text messages rolled in from my friends being like, "You are the effing worst. What is wrong with you? I hate you. I never want to see you again." I mean, my bad. I apologized. And I'm really embarrassed. Rule number one about marathon spectating, don't tell someone that Heartbreak Hill is over when it's not Heartbreak Hill. Anyways, moving on. So I watched them run the marathon and it was just a magical day. And afterwards, me and then my friend Greg and his sister and his brother-in-law, we all went to dinner. And they were asking me, you know, like, "Kelly, why don't you ever try to BQ? Like, would you ever be interested?" And I was like, "No, I don't think I can do it. Like, I would never be able to take myself seriously enough. I could never take my training seriously enough. I would quit when it got really hard. Like, I just want to run for me. I just want to run for fun. It's impossible." And I went home and it left a really bad taste in my mouth because honestly, after I ran my very first marathon, I promised myself that I would at least try to do all the things I told myself that I wasn't capable of or that were impossible and just go all out and try to see what happens, because I kind of let the fear of failure stop me from moving forward with my life after I graduated from college. And I promised myself that I'd never do that again. So oddly enough, Beyonce launched she put out her visual album Lemonade, and I watched it and I was so overwhelmed. Like, it was just one of those things that was so incredible to watch, and it was visually stimulating and the message was powerful. I mean, I was so exhausted after watching Lemonade that I had to take a nap. But when I woke up, I was like, "I'm going to BQ. I'm going to do it." And so I like grabbed a camera and I filmed me talking to it and saying that I was going to do it. And I put it out in the universe and I was like, "I'm doing it. I'm going to find a coach and I'm going to BQ." And that was that. So I started this journey, and it was the first attempt. I started in April and then I set my goal race to be the Chicago Marathon in October. And that six month block of time was just really, really, really difficult. I was constantly afraid of what was coming, and I was constantly struggling with self-doubt, and my workouts were really difficult. I have the most amazing coach in the whole entire world. His name's Josh Mayo, and he is so incredibly supportive, and he's so smart, and he's really funny, but he doesn't take any shit from me. So when I try to come up with excuses or when I panic, like, he just handles it really well, and he's a huge reason why this whole experience is happening. But Chicago Marathon, it came, and I was a nervous wreck. I mean, the night before the race, we went to dinner, and I was crying over my spaghetti. Like, I'm not even kidding you. My aunt, she asked me, she was like, "Are you excited?" Because me and my cousin William were both running Chicago. She was like, "Are you excited about tomorrow?" And I would just start to cry if that was any indication of how stressed out and nervous I was. I was just terrified. It was such a scary endeavor. But the truth is, like, I'm not an elite athlete, and nothing was riding on my performance the following day. Like, whether or not I qualified for Boston wasn't going to make or break my life or my career. It was just an accomplishment that I never thought I'd aspire towards. But honestly, the entire point about going for this Boston qualifying time was really, it became this quest to, like, silence my inner critic and prove to myself that I'm stronger than I give myself credit for. And, like, telling myself I'm not a quitter really kind of became this driving force that kept me going whenever I wanted to throw the towel in and quit, or when I was so afraid of failing that I didn't know what to do. I learned a lot from that whole experience, and a lot of it came from both Dr. Bob and Josh. For those of you who don't know, Dr. Bob is the former director of sports psychology at UCLA. He's a licensed psychologist, and he has been a huge giant help with my whole attempt to try to qualify for Boston and just helping me get into the mind frame of an athlete, because I've never been athletic. Like, this whole, for a lot of people, I think they just do it. They get a training plan, they fight through it, it's hard, but they get through it. And for me, like, it's nice to have someone walk me through what I'm going through and give me tools like no regrets, no excuses. Or he taught me what it means to embrace pain and to, like, learn to be in the same room with it, but not be surprised about it and not let it, you know, freak me out, if that makes sense. And he also really helped me, he and my coach Josh, they both together helped me, like, stop defining myself about what I was and wasn't capable of. So, like, for me, like, I was always like, I'm a 9-minute miler, like, that's how fast I can go. And whenever I saw 6 or 7 minute miles on my training plan, I would just panic. I would totally freak out. I still freak out. And I would let it influence my workout. Like, I just wouldn't even, I would try, and then, like, maybe a minute in, be like, nope, not, I can't do this. I made a joke in an article I wrote one time, like, I couldn't run a 7-minute mile if Paul Rudd was a mile away with a burger and a beer. Like, it was just like, I didn't think it was possible. So Dr. Bob encouraged me to, instead of saying, I can't do this, just say, I'm going to try and see what happens. I mean, I wasn't going to turn into a pumpkin if I didn't do what I set out to do. I wasn't going to, like, fall apart. It wasn't going to be the end of the road for me. So he gave me no regrets, no excuses, which meant that you do the most that you can every single day so that when race day comes, you race your heart out and you finish however you finish, whether you hit your goal or you don't, and you know that you gave your personal best effort. And we covered this in an earlier podcast, but it's physically impossible to fail if you try and give everything you have. Does that make sense? So we did, and race day came, and race day was so hard. Like, this was the first time in a marathon that I think only one part of the race was actually, or two parts of the race was actually fun. The beginning, when I ran with one of my friends, and then the end in the final mile. But the entire time I had to fight this nagging feeling to get comfortable again, because it was just too much. It was so painful, so painful. And I doubted myself every step of the way. And I mean, I can't tell you how terrifying it was when I was 13 miles in and I was like, holy shit, I'm only halfway there and I have to get faster. This is impossible. So the whole time it was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can do this. And there were other external factors, but I knew I wasn't going to BQ around mile 20. And for a second, I almost pulled back. But then with the help of another runner, like, she ran up to me and she was like, she was following my journey to BQ, and then she was on her way to her BQ, and she was just in such a great mood and she was so supportive that it just reminded me, like, no regrets, no excuses. I'm not a quitter. So honestly, for the rest of the race, I just kept repeating to myself, like, you're not a quitter. No regrets, no excuses. You are Beyonce. And then when I saw Josh, and Greg, I was in so much pain. And there's a video of me running by them and I'm flipping them off because they were supposed to catch me at 3 different parts of the course, but they missed me and it was all a big mistake. And I was just so mad. And then, but then right after them, I saw Dr. Bob, who I wasn't expecting to be there. And he was screaming at me. He's like, don't stop. Like, no regrets, no excuses. Kick it in. Give it everything you have. You're almost done. And so I did. And I busted out a 7-minute, 45-second final mile. And it was incredible. And I finished. And then I put out into the Instagram world that I was going to run the London Marathon and I was going to do it. you know, I just finished a marathon and I was kind of drunk because they gave you beer at the finish line. So like I drank a beer and I'm buzzed and I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm running the London Marathon. And the next day I woke up and got into the London Marathon via the ballot. And I was like, what? Regret. And I spent a lot of time from there kind of panicked. Cause there's a very popular say, I forget who said this, but that you shouldn't run a marathon until you've forgotten how painful your last one was. And I didn't, because I had to run the New York City Marathon a month after that, which was that's a story in and of itself. I'll tell that another day. But here I am, 50 days away from the London Marathon in my second Boston qualifying attempt. And this experience has been just 100% different. The first 2 months of training were really, really rough. I think I was really hyper-focused on the fact that I wasn't where I was the last time I finished training, and I was struggling to get my fitness back, and I couldn't put how painful the Chicago Marathon was out of my mind, and I just couldn't get excited about it. But it was just, it took patience and it took a lot of hard work, and Josh believed in me every step of the way. But now, like, the last month of training has been awesome. My fitness is back. I'm not as afraid. I don't doubt myself as much. So it's just been really different, which is crazy to say. Because this goal still feels impossible, kind of. Today, I think I've been outside of my comfort zone and moving towards it so much. Oh, I also should say, I finished the Chicago Marathon in 3 hours and 41 minutes. So I'm 6 minutes away from my Boston qualifying time. And this time I want to try to do it in 3:30. So now I have to try to shave off 11 minutes. But it's been really hard. But back to comfort zones. You know, when you set a very, impossible goal, it's something that I'm really motivated by. It's something that really excites me. People sometimes say, you know, like, set realistic goals, which I think is important, but I think you should set your realistic goals in the middle of your impossible goals so that you have both to work towards, because what difference does it make if you don't hit it? Push yourself outside of your comfort zone to see what you're capable of, because we all define ourselves and put ourselves in these boxes and say, this is what I'm capable of doing. This is what's possible. But we're so much stronger than we give ourselves credit for. Like, we prove that to ourselves time and time and time and time again. Whatever your goal is, I really do believe that the only way you'll actually fail is if you don't give it your best effort. No regrets, no excuses isn't easy, and that's not the whole story. I'm willing to bet that the majority of your days are going to be really, really hard and really difficult. But it's a really important message that even in moments of just like doubt, fear, anxiety, discomfort, that you're going to get through it if you keep going. But I want to let you listen in on a phone call I had with Dr. Bob today. So this morning I had a really not so great track workout. The first not so great track workout I've had in a really long time. And Dr. Bob always has really great things to say. And I have a lot coming up. I mean, I'm 50 days away from London Marathon. Oh boy. I'm 50 days away. I'm feeling really great, but then I kind of had a crappy week. So it's always good to check in with Dr. Bob, because he always has really interesting things to say. And he just kind of puts everything into perspective. And same with Josh. Like, they're both so great. But I'm going to let you listen in on my conversation with Dr. Bob. So enjoy.
Joey Roberts.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. I'm finally home from my disastrous track day.
Oh, was that this morning?
Oh my gosh. It was just so hard. It was frustrating. It was a frustrating day.
Was this a tempo thing?
Yeah. So like Josh wanted me to do one lap 400 meters in the outside lane and have me do it in like 1 minute 45 seconds, which shouldn't have been an issue because I've been doing that for weeks. And today I couldn't hit it at all.
Was that physical, do you think, or was it more mental?
It felt physical. It just felt like my legs were so heavy.
Okay. Are you physically tired? I mean, you've been training pretty hard, right?
Yeah, but I took yesterday as a rest day.
Okay. Well, it takes probably more than one day to fully recover. But so, did you go into it thinking I still feel really sore and tired, and this is going to be a hard day?
No, I was really excited.
So, is it possible that you really just are tired and beaten down? Is it possible it really was a physical thing today?
maybe, because I kept trying to be like, shake it off, it's fine, it's just one laugh, like, we'll do the next one. And then after the fourth time that happened, I was like, all right, what the hell?
So here's the thing, as you get more and more in shape, and, you know, your body, you're more in tune with your body. I mean, the good news is you're more in shape and you're more in tune with your body. The bad news is you're more in shape and you're more in tune with your body. So when it doesn't feel right, you know it much more accurately than you did before.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And then once you think about it and you go, oh, I'm not feeling good today, then your mind goes, okay, that's accurate information. So here we go. That's how I'm going to act. You confirm what you already felt, but it's based on reality, so you can't necessarily change that. It'd be one thing if you were talking yourself into feeling sore, but I bet you really are physically sore.
Yeah.
And not fully recovered from the jet lag thing and from whatever you were doing, you know, in Miami. And so it's very real, as opposed to 6 months ago when some of it was in your head.
Yeah.
I mean,
everything feels so different this time around. Like, I'm having so much more fun. I mean, I haven't dreaded a work. Well, Tuesday I dreaded my workout, which was interesting because it was a workout that I know I can do, and I got really afraid of it and almost didn't do it, which I don't know if that was just me trying to find an excuse not to have to do it while I was in Miami and so I can go to the pool, or if that was me like genuinely having a moment of being like, oh, that number's scary, or if it may have been both. But I think it was
Well, it's funny because I was just showing somebody your website and stuff, and so I pulled up that YouTube. I haven't been looking at it because I wanted to be able to just talk to you without the bias of knowing what you're feeling and thinking and wanting to hear it from you first.
Uh-huh.
But I happened to pull that one up, and I watched the first 2 minutes of it, you know, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, this sounds painfully familiar.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that was the first time you've done that in a long, long time.
Long time. And I've been running really fast.
So was it different today then? Did you not have that same attitude today?
I went into today totally confident that I could do it easily, which maybe I think because I was running in the outside lane and it was harder, that may have thrown me off. I wasn't expecting like that. I think I'm just tired, but
that's what I'm thinking. I mean, this sounds and feels different to me than it did 6 months ago when it sounded like more like I'm not in good enough shape to do this, and I'm scared that I won't be able to do it, and it's going to hurt, and I don't want to hurt. And now I don't hear that anymore. I hear, you know, I'm okay with it hurting because I know it has to in order to get where I want to go. But when it hurts and I can't go any faster, that's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, it took a really long time this time around to like put Chicago behind me and remembering how painful it was. That was really freaking me out for like the first maybe 2 months of training. And I would say it was only until like 3 or 4 weeks ago that I really like started to enjoy myself again. But that was a hurdle.
Yeah, no, and we knew it would be because all Chicago showed you is just how hard you're really going to have to work to get where you want to go. But you climbed that hurdle, you're over it, it sounds like. And today's just today take it for what it is, you're tired.
Yeah.
I mean, you're entitled to be tired every once in a while. That doesn't entitle you to take a day off, it just tells you to be tired.
that's true. I guess I didn't think of it that way. I know I took everything in me not to like just walk off and be like, screw it, whatever, I'm tired. And then I was like, just finish it. You're here, whatever.
That is the right attitude to have. I mean, you need to push through those days because you're gonna have days like that. You
know, yeah.
You can't even have a race like that. I mean, you could get in the middle of a race and feel that way. And you know, if you haven't quit in practice, you won't quit during the race either.
And that's
then,
true.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you'll get through it and surprise yourself. You know, like that middle, you know, 7 or 8 miles when you're just like, I can either slow down to my crawl and be frustrated at the end, or I can push through this and feel better and then have something at the end and just go for it, you know, in the last couple of miles and see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still learning.
Yeah, totally.
The other thing, I'm sure Josh will say this to you too, when you're tired like that, it's when you really need to warm up really, really well, stretch, even more, pay more attention to that stuff than you normally do, because that's, you know, a lot of that tiredness is probably, you know, lactic acid buildup still. And so getting your muscles really warmed up and really taking your time to be ready to run fast is a big part of that, I think.
That's a good note. I mean, I think I did it normally today, which is probably still too quick of a warm up. So that's a good note.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because you're like, I'm already tired, and you tell me I have to even warm up more than I normally do. No way. I mean, I got to save everything I got for the race or for the run. But I think everything you invest in the warm up is going to come back to pay off. It doesn't have to be a lot of running, but it has to be a lot of stretching and. Just make sure your muscles are truly warmed up. What time did you run this morning?
I started around 6:30, so I got up at 5, so I had like an hour and a half on me.
But it was also really cold at that hour.
It was pretty cold. It was kind of, but it was nice cold. Like the sun had already come up.
Right, but the only reason I bring that up is that when you leave your house, so when you get to the track, make sure you keep your body warm. If you let your core temperature drop even a degree or two, it's that much harder to get yourself back up to race temperature again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm working with a swim team now. It's the same thing. We tell the swimmers, you've got to stay, keep your body warm. If you watch the Olympians, they're in an indoor pool where it's 90 degrees, but they're still in their sweats right up until the time it's time to jump in the water, just because they're trying to keep their core temperature up and their body, their body warm and loose. Because when you get cold, obviously you tighten up.
I have a question for you. I finally had like a nice long run this last weekend, but the last four have been pretty hard and terrible. And it's my legs have been feeling great, like I could run hard and fast for a long time. But I've been really hard staying present and not feeling like my head is like jelly.
Right. So where does your head go in those moments?
I think I just focus on, I think I let myself get really angry that I'm like not in it and that my legs feel so good, but that like for some reason I'm having a bad time.
You can tell me if I'm wrong about this, but it seems like you got a ton of stuff going on the outside, in the outside world, and if there's a way to make that all disappear and just make running your escape, like it started out as, like, remember why you started running? You ran because you wanted to not be thinking about Scott. You wanted to not be thinking about your life situation. You just wanted to have something that was, at the time, it was just more painful than anything else. Or all you could think about is how much this hurts.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't hurt like that anymore. And, you got to find something to be thinking about that, especially on the long recovery runs where you're not really focusing on intervals and you're not really, the process isn't going to be that hard for you. It's just go run some distance. That's where being able to look around and go, wow, who'd have thought that I could be running 8-10 miles and, or 6-7 miles, whatever it is, out here in, this beautiful weather. And I wouldn't even be worried about how much it hurt. I'd be happy.
Yeah. I think that was the difference between last weekend and then all the other weeks.
Mm-hmm. We should talk about mindfulness.
Yeah.
Have you done any of that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know. I was actually going to look it up as we talk. Let me send something out to my list there and just see if anybody knows of like an active mindfulness kind of thing that you can be doing. Just something to get your head back into, and you can put it on your iPod, whatever you listen to as you're running, and maybe that would help.
That'd be awesome.
What else?
Is there anything I could be doing, I think we're at 50 days, like from now until then, like either before I run or like when I wake up, or like things that I could be doing to get myself, like to continue this confidence and like work on that?
Yeah, I would say visualization would be the thing that I'd be doing. You can get a map of the course you're going to run, right?
Yeah.
And it's a little soon for that now, but maybe not. I mean, maybe it's because it's such a long race and maybe you don't want to do it in pieces, but, just start familiarizing yourself with the course. I mean, you can do it with Google Maps and you can actually see the course, right? And, use a satellite view and you can actually run, see the course. But I would just start taking yourself through it, maybe a piece at a time, because it's too much to do the whole race every day, every time. But, what the first couple miles are going to feel like, and what the middle of it's going to feel like, what it's going to feel like as you get to the end, and then ultimately what it's going to feel like when you cross the finish line and you see the goal time that you set for yourself, But I would just start doing that every day, you know, just imagining, imaging that in your head, you know, either before you wake up, wake up in the morning or when you go to bed at night. But I would just start doing that every day so that when you get to London, it feels like I've been here, done this so many times in my head that there's nothing that's going to surprise me. Then start imagining all the worst possible scenarios and how you will get out of them. If it's raining that day, if it's cold that day, if it's, you know, if you break a shoelace, if, you know, you miss a water station, if whatever could go wrong goes wrong, see yourself succeeding in each of those places so that, again, no matter what happens, you're like, been there, done that. I know I have an answer for it. Does that make sense?
Totally.
But, you know, it's hard because once, you know, that's like work, you know. Now I'm not just getting to relax and lie in bed. I actually have to think about something. I actually have to plan for what I'm going to think about. But that's what you're going to do on race day, too, is have, you know, have a plan for everything. But picture yourself going through warm-up, through the stretching. And the idea is to capture the feeling that you want to have on race day. You want to be able to turn that feeling on in your head anytime you want. And you can practice while you're running, too. You know, just picture yourself being in London, and, you know, if that day you're in practice, like today, if you were out on that run, and you're doing a 400, and it's not feeling very good, imagine this is, you know, you're running a quarter in the middle of it, and Josh has told you he wants you to pick up the pace for a minute just to see what you can do, and you're not feeling it, your legs aren't responding, you know, how are you going to fight yourself, how are you going to fight through that? If this is London, you're going to fight through it because, God damn it, I've worked so hard to get here, I'm not letting this go.
Yeah.
But, you know, practice that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. I have been thinking a lot because the New York City half marathon is in 2 weeks, and that's kind of going to be my tune-up, see where we're at, right. Big race before the marathon. And right. That race for me is, like, always my favorite race. And last year I ran, like, a 10-minute PR. I think I did it in, like, 3:41. 3:41? That sounds right. Something like that. But it was
1:41.
Yes, 1:41. 3:41. But it was, like, I ran a smart race intentionally, but it was a very present, I didn't have to try very hard. I just enjoyed myself and let everything happen because I was ready.
Right.
And I'm worried that I'm going to do what I always do and get like, I need to be an athlete and a hyper-focused human and I need to do good and then like blow it because I'm trying to do all the things instead of just doing what I do.
It's funny that you say that because that's exactly what I was just thinking about. As we were talking about all the things you could be doing to get ready, I was just thinking, wait a minute. You know, this is not how Kelly runs the best. She runs the best when she's not worried about all that stuff.
But I can get to that place by doing that.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking. The reason I think you get to that place is because now that you can do that during practice and not during the race, that's the key.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, do all that work now, you know, and fight through those moments now so that on race day, this is the easiest day of my life because all I'm doing is running 13 miles.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not running 13 miles at tempo. I'm not running 13 miles, you know, with Josh's brain, you know, Josh's voice in the back of my head. I'm just, today is my day to just run.
Yeah.
You know, and not overthinking and just do it.
I think anytime I tell myself I have to run fast, I just like immediately start to panic. Even though I kind of enjoy it now, I still have that weird like, kinesthetic, no response.
No, it's not weird. It's called reactance theory. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I told myself I have to do it and I don't want, you know.
Yeah.
As soon as you tell me I have to do it, and you're probably one of the, you and I are very similar in that way, and we're both very, very stubborn.
Yeah.
You know, you tell me I have to do something, and my first reaction is like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Even if I wanted to do it, I don't have to.
Yeah.
So I can show you. You can use reverse psychology on yourself and say, you know, no, I don't want it. I'm not going to do that today. I don't have to. But I think it's just better to just not even think about just F it. I'm doing what I want to do. And what you want to do is run fast anyway. So,
yeah.
But I think you have to put yourself into that situation in practice.
Yeah.
And then get yourself out of that situation in practice. So that if it does happen in a race, you know, you go and you have that 10-second reaction of, oh, I don't have to do that. I'm like, Josh, go to hell. You know, how many times have you thought that in a run where you just want to go, no, you know, but you got to fight your way through it because he's actually telling you what you want what you want to hear, which is how to get what you want done.
Yeah. I feel like last year was very much fake it till you become it.
Right.
And everything kind of clicked. And when things felt like the whole, like, choosing not to say I have to, like, really resonated, but it didn't mean anything until this go around and the whole not embracing pain, but knowing it's going to be there and just knowing that I'm not going to die.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, when I think, you know, when you say I have to, I have to pick it up or I have to run fast, turn around and just say, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have to. I want to, and I'm choosing to, but that's a choice I'm making. Like today. I mean, that was a perfect example of, you could have just as easily said, I'm not feeling it. Nobody's going to know. I'm done.
Yeah.
You could have walked. But you didn't, because that's not what you really want to do. And because you know that you don't want to have any regrets, you know, in London. You want to go look back and go, I did everything I could to get where I want to be. And if I don't get there for some reason, then I won't be, I'll be sad, but I won't regret it. I won't be mad at myself.
Yeah.
And it stays like this, you'll look back at it and go, yeah, I got no regrets. I did what I had to do, you know. And I think by doing that, two things will happen. One, you won't have any regrets, and two, you'll accomplish your goal.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited. It's been very it's been a relief the past month.
Yeah. And here's the other thing I was just thinking is that, you know, for the next, and I don't know when you make this final push, but somewhere along the line you'll start that final push, right? Of, okay, it's 50 days or it's 40 days or 30 days, whatever it is. Use that as an excuse to cut out anything that you don't, that's distracting. You know, if there's an opportunity to do something that you know is going to take you away from training, or you know is not the right thing for you to do, but you want to do it, or you're feeling pressure to do it, use it. Hey, you know, you're a serious enough athlete now where it's okay to say, I can't because I'm in training, you know, or, you know, I'd love to, but I shouldn't because I'm in training. If that's how you really feel about it, you know, if that's running fast in London is your biggest priority, then don't be afraid to make that your biggest priority. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Yes.
Sometimes athletes forget that, you know, you are different than a non-athlete, because you do have a commitment and you do have a priority and you're working for something that's bigger than most people ever sign on for. It's one thing to say I want to run a marathon. That's a pretty big deal and takes a lot of commitment. But to say I want to run a 3:30 marathon and qualify for Boston, now that's pretty huge. And, you know, you've moved from wannabe to, you are now an athlete. And I hope you see it that way.
I'm struggling too, but I know I am.
Right. Well, and
I'm reluctantly accepting that.
Yeah. And when you cross that bridge, Beck and I used to call that self-confidence bridge.
Yeah.
You do it in the steps. You know, and when you cross that bridge and when you get to the other side of it, there's another bridge waiting for you. But when you get there, you know, it's an amazing feeling. You're doing it, girl.
Yeah.
You're doing it. Give yourself a break on today. You know, give yourself a pass. You did what you needed to do. It wasn't pretty. You didn't quit. You finished. And, you know, get rested. Make sure you stretch well, hydrate, you know, stay warm. Do all the things you need to do, and it'll be better tomorrow.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
Ciao for now.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So, there you go. It's really amazing. I will tell you, it's been a really great resource to have both a coach and a sports psychologist, which is why I'm sharing everything they say to me and do with me, because I know I could have done it without them, but they've both just been such an incredible resource. But I really liked what Dr. Bob said about using mindfulness, which is something that I'm also going to really look into and start doing more of, because this past weekend I had an 18-mile long run and it was fantastic because I really needed that run. I needed to just like think about stuff and life and be sad and run for me, which is, I think, what made it enjoyable. And with these 50 days, like these next 50 days are all about pushing myself just every single day to see what I'm capable of and getting as uncomfortable as possible, because I know this marathon is going to be really, really hard, and I know it's going to hurt and it's not going to be fun. it's my job to figure out how to enjoy that. I think a lot of times I hyper-focus on the finish line, but if you're not enjoying the process at least a little bit, it's just not going to be worth it. And I think mindfulness will really help me take me to that next level. So the next 2 weeks leading into the New York City Marathon, I'm just really going to focus on the race and prep myself mentally, which I've never done before. So that'll be interesting to try to visualize it. And I mean, it's my favorite race. So I think the most important thing for this race is to not put so much pressure on myself and to just enjoy it and to let my work speak for itself. It's just like a test. Like if you work yourself up and freak out, you're probably not going to do so well because you're going to have your blinders on. But if you trust your training and your work and all the steps that you took to get to that place, like everything will happen. It's like my favorite saying, what will happen already has, right? I'm just really excited. I'm getting really excited, which is such a freaking relief. So if you haven't, set an impossible goal that you can achieve in 3 to 6 months and start working towards it. Step outside of your comfort zone. Why not? I mean, I set a huge goal. I let the entire world watch it with me and I failed. You know, it didn't matter. I still won. That's crazy to say, but no regrets, no excuses is such an amazing way to live your life. Dare to fail. Yeah? Well, if you're digging the longer podcast, if you wanted, go ahead and subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Or if you really, really wanted to be an overachiever, go and rate it on iTunes. Give it 5 stars. And also, this might be really fun. If you go to the bottom of this episode on runselfierepeat.com, go ahead and leave questions for Dr. Bob or for Josh, my coach, and then we'll do a Q&A episode with the two of them for training. That sounds like fun, right? Awesome. All right, go kick ass, take names, set an impossible goal. Bum, bum, bum.
We are the champions.
Okay, I'm sorry you had to listen to that. I'm so embarrassing.